Okay, I want to begin, or I want to share this morning, having said already that we're not quite finished the fast, Wednesday's completion. So I thought I want to continue the theme and just give some encouragement. But I want to start with this. I realize we have a lot of new people in the church, and this is the sixth fast that we've went on for 3 days. 3 days, I think we started in 2015, one or two of those, and then we went to a week, and now we've went to 10 days. And we've done a lot of teaching, and many have been around and studied on your own concerning fasting, but there's always those that are, it's new to them. They're thinking, wow, they've never went to a church that fasts. So I just want to say a few things this morning concerning fasting and prayer. Keep us going right till the finish line on Wednesday. And then, of course, I've always said to the church, you go before God and ask him, what's God laying on your heart? Whether it be a meal a day, whether you go 10 days, whether you go, that's between you and God. And so keep that in mind. There's no, this is the law of the land, here we go. But it's a 10 days in the calendar for Christian Center to be fasting in prayer. Amen? Okay, here's we go. I thought I'd start with a little humor because it's a very serious subject sometimes, and I've shared this with the church before, but I was reflected on fasts over the years. I thought of these two incidents. I grew up in a church, good church, lots of great teaching. There was no preaching on fasting, though. I can't remember our church going into corporate fasts in the late 70s, early 80s. So, as I've said before, there's very few books written on the subject, so I was kind of self-taught. Didn't have a group that, hey, what are we doing? Let's fast together. So I read a few books, one of them being, I think it was the Norm, I forget it. Anyways, I read it, and I began a fast, and it was my first three-day fast. I don't know how many times I'd fasted up to that, build myself up to that, and educate myself sort of and draw near to God. But my first three-day fast I went on, and I got into day two, and I was starving to death. I thought I was going to die. It was that bad. I didn't have friends to rebound off and say, hey, Al, just have some water. This too will pass. And I remember the day and a half in, little kitchen we had there, plunking in some bread. Just I felt like a wolf wanting to devour that toast when it came out of there. And peanut butter and jam, I believe, I put on it. And I just stuffed the food into my mouth. I was just starving. And so, unfortunately, then, of course, the condemnation comes in. I broke my fast and stuff like that. And so anyways, that was my first three-day fast that I went on. So there's a thought for you that if you're new in the church or you're new to fasting, talk to people that have went down this trail and we can learn from each other. Secondly is about, I think, 3 or 4 years after that, I went on another three-day fast and I don't know if I missed this chapter in the book, but when you break a three-day fast on water only, you should really, say that again? Ease your body into it. Well, I'm sure there was a chapter in that book I read, but I missed it. And so this coincided, my three-day fast that I chose, with 10-year bank, or pardon me, it was a the plant that I worked in. Every year they had an awards banquet, and usually celebrating 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25. And it was my 10th year in the plant. And so the celebration was on the end of November, in that year, and it coincided with when I was breaking my three-day fast. And I don't know if I didn't get the message right, but I showed up at the banquet, and I was hungry, obviously, and I sat down, and it was, we're talking turkey, stuffing, potato, the whole nine yards, and I sat down, and I ate not one plate full, but two. I have that ability, a small guy, but I can pack it down, and I did. This might sound stupid to you, but I was, you eat one plate and you eat fast enough and you get it down before it gets the message. And so I say all that to say to you, there's wise ways to do this. There's wise ways to do fasting. There's books to read. There's people to talk to. And that's where I'm going this morning, is that I had a great church. Great body I was part of, but fasting wasn't a part of it. And so I was self-educated. But you know, God puts teachers in our lives that they can show us the way in certain areas of our life. And so this morning I want to talk, the scripture is Matthew chapter 6, you're well aware of it, 16 to 18. We'll just read it and I'll springboard from there. It says Jesus, he had already talked about giving, already talked about praying, and then he goes on to when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They've received their reward in full. And what I want to point out to the scripture this morning is concerning, here the purpose of fasting is not to shine the light on us. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were getting all, they were wanting glory. They were wanting to fast to be noticed by men, whether it be giving, praying, and fasting. They wanted the spotlight on them. And God says, no, don't be like them. They've received the reward. But you go into your closet or go in private or, you know, brush your teeth, comb your hair, so you're not drawing attention to yourself. And yet here I am this morning, and I'm going to talk about prayer and fasting. I'm going to use my life as an illustration. And I say that to say this, that we need, I don't do it. I do it because I feel God's call on my heart to do it. There's certain aspects that I enjoy fasting. Those aspects of faith where I know God is at work in me both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I know he's doing that as I fast and pray. I know those lists that I make and those things that I bring to the Lord. The Lord is answering those prayers. That's my reward. I get excited and pumped about things like that. And so I stand before you today, and I don't blow my own horn, but I do it as try to be an example to the flock that this is just one way of fasting, but that God really does want you fasting and praying, and he wants you giving. And so as we proceed here this morning, my examples, as I look at, you know, over the years, I've read a book on fasting. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, about this time when I was thinking God was leading our church into fasting, a friend of mine lives 800 kilometers away, sent me a book in the mail, coincided with we were going on our fast, and honestly, it's the best book I've ever read on the subject. Balanced, well-written, and he takes it out of his life, their church, for I think 20 years, set aside 21 days to fast and pray. And so it's from his examples, from his life and examples, that I gleaned from that. Not only that, that's fasting, but also I've read prayer books over the years. I'm sure you have as well. And they take illustrations out of their life so that we can learn and be taught and grow. One of the books that I read on giving, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, passed it out to the church, The Blessed Life. I've read books on giving for 40 years. And when I read that one, I thought, this is balanced. This is good stuff. This is biblical, and it should be passed on to the church. And it was all taken from the life of that pastor, from his real life experiences. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but in the past, if I've read the Bible and I've thought, yeah, Peter did this, Paul did that, Jesus did this, but wow, they're in an elite group by themselves. When really God calls us all to participate in these things. Amen? So here we go. I'm going to talk about my fast, practical side of it first. We went over to Fairmont, Carrie Ann and I. Now I've learned from this, last 6 years, each one of my fasts, and this is really, I got to let you in on this secret. This was great in that I didn't need any energy. I went over there, I had my Bible, I had my books, I had my wife, and that was it. Just rest, rest, rest. Because often, many of you have jobs that are physical, and to go on a fast, a water fast, just water only, I mean, that would be like really, you'd be caving on the job after a day and a half trying to exert energy. So I discovered this, that I'm going to try to make this a habit as we fast, go over there, set aside time, and no physical activity, more time for prayer in his word. And yeah, so there's just a thought. But we went over for the week, it reminded me of 1999, where I used to, when I was the pastor of the church, go over for a whole week and take time with God and, you know, look towards a plan, a vision for that coming year. And so that's the first time since 2007 that I'd been over there for that purpose. So thoroughly enjoyed it. But the Bible teaches concerning fasting. The Bible teaches three fasts, what we call an absolute fast, where nothing, no water, no food, nothing. And Moses is an example of this. He went on a 40-day fast, absolutely nothing. And obviously, there was a miraculous situation God was doing in his life. For 40 days, he went up the mountain, no water. I wouldn't recommend that. Second type of fast, which is we call the normal fast. Jesus was on a normal fast. He went to the desert. He was baptized. God's Spirit came upon him. And the Spirit immediately led him into the desert. And there he was tempted by the enemy. And when those 40 days were completed, he was hungry, but he didn't say he was thirsty, implying that he was on a water fast only. And the third fast that the Bible talks about is what we call the Daniel fast. In Daniel chapter 1 and again in chapter 10, Daniel went on a partial fast. In Daniel chapter 1, I believe it was vegetables and water only. And in Daniel chapter 10, he had no meat and he had no wine and a few other foods that the Bible doesn't go into specifics what he abstained from. And that's the point I want to make is that when we go on fasts, it's the major isn't the food. Sometimes we can get, people have asked me, well, should I eat this? Should I eat that? Should I, and I just say, ask God, ask Sarah about nutrition, stuff like that. I'm not into that. Just, go here. Here's the most important part about our fast. Always the most important part is that we humble ourselves, that we depend, we recognize our dependency on him. And the greatest one of them all is that we return to our first love. We return to our first love. I don't know about you, but you ever fall in a rut in your relationship with God? Or in your disciplines before the Lord? Do you ever get in a rut where you kind of do them, but there's something missing? Anybody besides me that happen? I can't imagine getting up in the morning and not spending time with God before I go out the day. It's been a habit for so long, I just can't imagine. But even within that, I might have the habit of opening the closet door and going in to seek the Lord, might have that down, it's just natural. But at the same time, there's been times where I go in and I sit before the Lord, I've set the time, and I've read the Bible, and I might have even prayed and everything, and when I walk out of there half an hour later, I kind of think, not much happened in there. I can't even remember what I read. I don't feel any drawing near to God. Pretty dry stuff. Has that ever happened to you? Might have happened this week. Might have happened in an hour that you set aside. And that's, might I say, perfectly normal. It's because when we walk with God, sometimes we get a little dull. Sometimes we serve God diligently, and in our service, we think we're really connecting with God, and really, we can do a lot of services just out of a habit, rather than having the attachment of God in our life and we're doing it for him and we feel his hand and we feel him working through us, and it can become very mechanical. It become like a butcher and his knives, and he takes time to sharpen his knives. Why? Because they're getting used and they get dull. And sometimes in our own spiritual life, we can become dull. We can show up on a Sunday morning. We can even lift our hands and it can still be dry and not sharp and sensitive to the Lord. That can happen. And so times of prayer and fasting, if that's happened in your life or is happening, man, the answer to that is prayer and fasting. Shutting the closet door, Lord, I am thirsty and dry. Can I lift my hands to the sky? God, I really need to get a hold of you here. And there's nothing wrong with that. The enemy will bring fear and condemnation. You've been neglecting this or that and the other thing. And you just, no, God's calling us into an intimate, deep relationship with him. So fasting and prayer, the food is one thing. But the importance of the fast is humbling ourselves before God Almighty who sits on the throne. Recognizing our dependence on him. When you go through those hunger pains, you say, oh, God, can I make it? Yes. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. And he can sustain our bodies through those things, and our attention is on to God. And most of all, Revelation 2:4. Revelation 2:4. Oh, here it is right here. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Sometimes that can just happen. Sometimes that might happen where people are upset with God and something's happened in their life and they turn away from him. Oftentimes it's just through life that we get a little dull in our sensitivity to the Lord. And God calls us back. The most important thing is to return to our first love, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's turn the page. Go on to a little more practical prayer times. How did my prayer time look? Let's throw up Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 41. We shared with you the church last week concerning these verses. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell down with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup. Can this cup be taken from me? Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Anybody fall asleep in the midnight hours this week? He found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And so when I shared with the church last Sunday, this was my ending scripture about, can you put verse 40 up there again? Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? And the challenge to the church was, we're on a 10-day fast, and at least, you know, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, as God leads you, sign up on that sheet. Stand in the gap for our body and our community, our church, for 1 hour. Could you pray for 1 hour? And an appeal to the body. And so this time around, I don't think over the years that I've, the body, or the board's filled up, that so much so that I didn't really put an hour down each day. I prayed, but I didn't fill the board up. But this time when I was leading, I thought, well, let's get right into it. And I looked at the board, and guess what was available? 3 a.m. I'm not a 3 a.m. person. I appreciate, I know Ken's a night hawk, or gets up, and he's that type of guy, and others in the body. And matter of fact, over the years, I've been totally shocked as I've looked at it, and from 11 till 5 in the morning, often that was the first hours filled, and I'm thinking, who are these people? Anyways, Ken wasn't around, or somebody missed the board, and 3 a.m. was open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I thought, oh, is God speaking? Oh, okay. And so anyways, I say that to say this, that it's not the 3 a.m., it's not the 3 p.m. It's signing up, it's am I willing to give God an hour to intercede and pray there? So I happened to slot in 3 a.m. And so there I was, but more importantly, it's what's happening in the prayer. And as I sought the Lord in prayer, I better not get ahead of myself here. Yeah, I sought the Lord in prayer, and concerning our body, it was just so wonderful. I had a list. Kyla and I keep a list in Janessa. Who belongs to Christian Center? So I had that list with me, and I was able to pray for the whole body. Not in 1 hour, but as the 4 days went through, covering the body of Christ. And what that does is that as I pray for Dawn, maybe 2 or 3 minutes for each one, but there's a connection there. Often, you know, our body's pretty big, 200 people, but and you can't, you know, be tight with everybody. But in prayer, that's where we're attached to one another in the body of Christ. That's where, as God, you know, just, I can pray for somebody like Jim, just normal life. He's a guy, I'm a guy, and I can pray those things. And then sometimes the Spirit reveal things about people that they need prayer about. And that's how we connect. That's how God intertwines our body, is as we take time to pray for one another. And as I was praying over those 4 days, that I sensed God speaking about our body about the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're the family of God. And God calls us the body of Christ. And as I meditated upon those words, we're the bride of Christ, God encourages each one of us that you're the bride of Christ, Jim. Yeah, Jim, you're the bride of Christ. I know that's hard sometimes for us guys to get our head around it. But Randy, you're the bride of Christ. Terry, individually, you're the bride of Christ. Think about back to the wedding day or anticipation of the wedding. Groom, bride, that's who you are. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And so personally, individually, we can go there that, wow, I think we sang this morning about anticipating the return of the bridegroom. And we as the bride are getting ourselves ready for the bridegroom's appearance. And you and I personally are the bride of Christ. He loves you so much. Matter of fact, there's a story in the Old Testament. There was a story in the Old Testament where Abraham, the father, sent his servant, Eleazar, to a far-off land. Why? To get a bride for his son. Remind you of anything? God the Father sent his son to earth to die for the sins of the world. To die for you and I. And then not only that, but he went back to heaven, and guess what he did? He sent his Holy Spirit to the earth in search of a bride. You and I. Remember when you got saved, and I don't know how it was for you, but the Holy Spirit was pursuing you. Might have been for years and years and years, and then you became aware of it. Wow, what's this tugging on my heart to the things of God? This is weird. I wasn't even raised in a Christian home. Why am I being? That's the Spirit of God. The Father sent the Spirit to get the Son a bride. Wow. But not only that, but then we go on. God calls us the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part. Do you remember that song? I'm a family of God. This is our family. We're part of the family of God corporately. And God brings us in his family. Not only do we have a personal relationship with the Lord that's intimate with him, but also he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't want us remaining independent or separate from one another, but he wants to put us in his family. And in that family, we really learn to love one another. This is your family, folks. If this is the church that you come to weekly, monthly, this is our family. And God places us in here that we would love one another, that we would grow in that. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 9, as I have loved you, go love one another. Or pardon me, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, go love one another. We're part of the family of God. And in prayer, you want to get attached to your brothers and sisters? Take them to the Lord in prayer. Begin to lift up their name and their families to the throne of grace. I point out this book again as it passes around the church. It'll draw our family of God together. And thirdly, the Bible calls us, or refers to us as the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And a lot of times as you're the ear, you're the eye, you're the leg, and we need one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need one another to function. He's the head, we're his body. But as I was praying about this, I felt the Lord, not only are we the body of Christ to minister to one another, after the service today, we'll have times of prayer with each other, but also we're his body is that he sends us out into our community. We don't just stay here as his body and minister to one another. That's good. It's important we do that. But also, we're his body, his hands and feet, extended into our community. We're his body to minister to the people in the Crow's Nest Pass or the community that God's placed us in. The bride of Christ, the family of God, and the body of Christ. Thirdly, prayer requests. I'm sure we're all familiar with this. I'm sure we have all our lists. Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It says, present your requests to God. It's God's idea, requests. And so I don't know about you, but in my time away, I had a list. I still have it. And as I looked at my list, there's some of that list is made up of a few of them are concerning our church. One concerning this year that I'm seeking the Lord. Lord, I really need an answer here. Another one for next year already, and just taking it before the Lord and requests unto God. Some of my requests that I wrote down were family members, their health, petitioning the Lord, God, oh, can you come through on this one? And some of them more personal. Some of my requests, matter of fact, one of my requests, I believe, I don't want to blow the trumpet too quick, but 90% answered already before I even left Fairmont. Oh, that one got me excited, yeah. Not, you know, I'm probably by the end of this week, for sure, by the end of 2 weeks, I'm going to know, and I'm getting pretty excited about that one. And another one, a personal request, is that I've been beseeching the Lord for 10 years, and I brought that one to him. Can you imagine how pumped I'm going to be when that one gets answered? But God wants us to make a list. Normally, I think that's, you know, when we're young in Christianity and following Christ, is we always get the list and taking the list to God. And as we mature in prayer, we realize prayer is far more than just a list. But there is a list. There's nothing wrong with a list. Keeps us focused and on track. And then not only that, when the list is there, I keep journals for 30 years. And I can look back and journal. And oftentimes, I flip through my journals. And then I take that red marker and I say, write the date down. Wow. And it encourages a faith. So, I close with this thought before we go to communion. There's prayer. Oh, and add to that about those requests. Always, always add our faith to those. When we're going before the Lord, Hebrews 11:6. Anybody want to help me with that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That motivates us in prayer. That's we show up because there's going to be an answer. Sometimes it might not be the answer we want, but there's going to be an answer as we diligently seek the Lord. There's going to be an answer. And so we come to God in faith. Lord, you're right here, whether I feel it or not. Sometimes I know you're here and I know you answer prayer. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, there's a number of others that encourage us to exercise our faith in God. Sometimes it's 10 years. Sometimes it might be the end of the week and the answer comes. But we want to put our faith in God. And finally, there's this one. I think I whited out the scripture, but anyways. Here's the thought. As a matter of fact, this week I went there and I'm fasting and praying, and all of a sudden my face breaks out. What's with that? And then Carrie Ann says, well, it's all that chocolate you ate over Christmas. And so within our bodies, that happens. Bad breath, all of these things are happening. Whoa. Matter of fact, I got to Fairmont and Monday by noon. I was sick. I caught a cold. And I was just telling Carrie Ann last week, I don't think I've had a cold in 2 years. A year for sure is maybe two. But my face is breaking out. And well, all that is something's going on in the body. And it's toxins being released. Sarah could help me here. And all of this crap that builds up in all of our lives. The food, the junk we eat and all that stuff. Fasting eliminates it. And it comes to the surface. And so there it was looking me in the mirror. Whoa. But there's a spiritual parallel to that. When we go before the Lord and there's the sifting. And I agree, to me, sifting's good. Do I want to be healthy and strong? Yeah, well, I got to go through a process. Sometimes the process isn't what I would want, but it's good when we're before the Lord. And so as I went before the Lord, I think it was Monday, maybe it was first the hour, and there was a thought coming in over here, Al, I really want to deal with this. And I'm thinking, I started talking to God, that's not that important. Started reasoning with him. Anyways, finally, after 3 days, it was just getting louder and louder and louder. And I thought, whoa, Lord, okay, if you really want, I really want it, God. I gotta do a fleece here, kind of really show me, eh? And it was something between my lovely bride and I. And so then, I think it was a Thursday morning, I come in to the other side where she was. And she said, oh, Al, and she started sharing a scripture with me.
And I go, uh-oh, that's exactly a scripture God's dealing with me over there. So in one hand, I'm saying, yes, Lord. In the other hand, I'm thinking, whoa. Because it was a door I didn't want to walk through, and I thought there was going to be a conflict there. And so I'm reasoning. I'm thinking, oh, dude, Lord, do I really want to bring this up? And then, boom, you know, wreck the whole week, maybe, possibly. I don't know. But here the Lord is leading. And so, you know, I've obviously, after hearing from the Lord a few times, Care, come on over. I want to chat with you. And I mean, within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it was dealt with. Dealt with. Dealt with. And let me tell you this, you wouldn't believe how long that's been nagging me, just, you know, kind of out there, robbing the peace now and again. And I thought, whoa, and the enemy whispering, does he ever whisper in your ear? No, Al, you don't want ba 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 because boom, boom, this is going to happen, stuff like that. And so that's the enemy just wanting to keep us silent. Rather than talk about issues with spouses or the body of Christ, the enemy just keeps us in fear and in bondage in that way. And times of fasting and prayer have the ability to put the squeeze on, you might say. God, I love the peace of God, and I wasn't getting it because I wasn't dealing with this issue that the Lord wanted me to deal with. And the good news, what a result. Praise God for that. And so I encourage you to, we're on the, we've got 3 days to go, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I encourage you to be strong. Look to the Lord to be strong to the finish. Maybe even some of you had planned, no, I'm done on Sunday. I'm ending it there. But keep this in mind, all of us. Even if you don't fast a meal, in the next 3 days, don't eat between meals. Just try that. There's a powerful, if you're looking to God, just eat. If you eat 8 in the morning, if you eat at noon and supper, don't touch anything after that. Anybody have snacks after 6? Do you think maybe this week that you just set it aside? Could you set it aside? Have a good meal at 6, if you're not going the full fast. And just go those, and have, what do they call the first meal in the morning? Break fast. Hey, isn't that a novel thought? Just try that. I honestly, as the week went by, I thought of 1986, and I remember walking in the plant that I was working and having that simple discipline of not having snacks between meals, just waiting till that 6 o'clock hour, or at work, if you're on the midnight shift, wait till midnight to open that lunch bag. And there was something happening between me and God, just that discipline of waiting till the spouse, your spouse, sits down at the table, just that aspect of waiting. We're in a society that, you know, we don't often say no to ourselves. And here's just a little discipline for the next 3 days for some, maybe, if God's speaking to you, that you wait, don't have the snacks in between. Set them aside with the purpose of thinking, more time for prayer, more time for seeking God and asking Him for His ministry in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Your word have we hidden in your heart, our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. And I thank you for this church, this body, our family, God, your family. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to take us to the end. Day 10, Wednesday, seeking your face. Continue your marvelous work within our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.